Well, good morning. The chosen few that made it Memorial Day weekend. Welcome to our service. It's great to be worshiping together. This is the one weekend where almost every year in staffing we talk about, you know, should we just blend services and do one service? And we always land on, we'd never get word out for one weekend, and somebody would show up and they'd be here earlier, they'd be here late and missed. And so we just said, let's just run with two services, but we're glad that you're here. We had several folks make it late to the earlier service because they either got stuck in Rolling Thunder or just chose to watch Rolling Thunder, and then they rolled in a little bit late. And so, but that's not the case here because it's already over with. And I was telling them, I remember back in the day, Rolling Thunder used to go right down Route 50 here before they started using 66. And it would usually start about the time, it was before I was lead pastor, it would start about the time our pastor was starting to preach. And about 30 minutes later, it was ending as he was ending. And so that's how many motorcycles were coming by, and it's grown since then. We have a guy in our church that's a VP for Harley-Davidson. Some of you know Ed Moreland, and this is kind of like their Christmas or their 4th of July over at Harley-Davidson, right? So, but anyway, we're glad that you're here worshiping this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you for this day, just to worship you and to focus on you. And God, we also thank you for a weekend where just in our country, we can pause and we can just remember the people who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms and our liberties. And we thank you for those sacrifices. And we pray for their family members that you would be a special presence in their lives today and this weekend. We thank you for the men and women who continue to serve in so many different ways through our armed forces and in other ways to protect our country and to protect our liberties. And again, we just pray a blessing on them. And then, God, I just thank you for each person that's here today. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds so that we can know the things that you want us to know about ourselves and the way that you shaped us and the reason that you shaped us. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So we're continuing our series. We're going to wrap up this series next week with a ministry fair. And if you haven't been here for a while, we do a ministry fair every so often, usually about every year and a half to 2 years, something like that is what we've done. We've done them in lots of different ways. The way we're going to do it next week is things are going to be set up a little differently in here. So we're not going to be in rows next week. We're going to be in circles around tables. And when you come in, whether you come to early service or this service, we're going to have a little bit more food than we normally do. We're calling it brunch. It's not going to be cooked stuff, so don't get your hopes up too high. We're not doing omelets or anything like that outside. But a little more substantial than what we normally offer for both of our services as you come in. So get here a little bit early so you can grab food. Just bring it on with you and grab a seat anywhere at any of the tables. Some of the tables will actually have centerpieces that reflect one of the ministries in our churches, and that's so that we can point people in that direction after the service, and we'll have leaders from those ministries at those tables to answer any questions that you might have about those ministries. So the idea is to introduce you to some of the ongoing ministry opportunities, serving opportunities that we have in our church that you might want to find out more about and might want to think about plugging into in that way. So I hope you'll come back next week. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. So join us if you're in town. But today I want to talk about why it's important for us to understand why we should understand what our shape is. The way I can do that is with really two words: serving others. Serving others is why it's so important that you understand how God shaped you. Serving others is an important part of being a follower of Jesus, because if you look at the life of Jesus, that's what Jesus did. He served other people. I mean, he certainly served his disciples. Jesus served sick people. He served lonely people. He served people that had been pushed aside and pushed away and ignored and rejected by their culture. He tried to serve the religious leaders. Most of them just didn't get it. Some of them did. And ultimately, he served you and me and the rest of the world by giving his life for us. And so if you're going to be a follower of Jesus and genuinely try to follow him, then serving others is going to be a natural part of that. And serving others is an important part of who we are as a church. It's kind of a benchmark for us as a church. In fact, it's so important to us that we actually put it in our mission statement. This is our mission statement for our church: to develop devoted followers of Christ who are connected in community and have a passion for serving other people. That's what we want to do as a church, is we want to develop disciples, people who are following Jesus, and help them do that to the best of their abilities, where they are in their relationship with Him. We want to connect them in community. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And then we certainly want to help people grow in their passion for serving other people, because we believe that's the best way to make a difference. And I would say that until we're connected with others and until we've developed that passion for serving others, then we're not quite there yet as fully devoted followers of Jesus. And if we're really going to bring change to this world and to our communities, then it's going to require us to be willing to serve other people. Now, as we talk about this today, as we talk about serving today, I want you to keep in mind some. I want you to keep in mind this idea of 10% and 90%. And we usually talk about the 10% when we talk about finances, right? And don't get worked up. This is not a tithing sermon today. We'll do that another time, and I'll give you a heads up. But the Scripture tells us, right, that we should tithe. That's biblical. We teach that here, that we should give 10% back to God. But that the 90% that's left when it comes to our finances, that belongs to God too. And that we should use that, it's not ours to use whatever we want to with. God expects us to use all of our finances, the 10% and the 90%, in a way that honors Him and is a reflection of Him living in our lives, His presence in our lives. So whether it's buying a car or a house or going on vacation or providing for my kids or whatever I'm using the 90% of my finances on, I should keep in mind that it all really belongs to God and it's been entrusted to me. And that how I use it should reflect all of that. So when it comes to serving, using your shape that we've been talking about, the 90%, when it comes to serving, involves being a reflection of Christ wherever God has placed you in the world. It's being the presence of Christ wherever God has placed you. It's reflecting Christ in your relationships. With the people who are around you, with your family, with your coworkers, with your boss, with employees, if you are the boss, with your neighbors and your friends. It's reflecting Christ as a son or a daughter, as a husband or a wife, as a mother or a father. It's pursuing the vocation that God has placed you in, with the desire to reflect Christ within that vocation. So when you reflect Christ in your relationships, whoever that is with, whether it's your husband, your wife, your kids, the people you work with, your neighbors, when you reflect Christ wherever you are, God uses you to change the world. And that's what I mean by the 90%. That's the stuff that God uses to change the world through you, using your shape wherever you find yourself and wherever God has placed you. But there's also another way that God changes the world, and that's through the 10%. And the 10% is what we do together as a church. And the great thing about the 10% is that when we combine all of our 10%, all of our gifts and all of our abilities and all of our talents and experiences and all of that, we're able to do more together than we are on our own. You know, one of the ways that the Apostle Paul described the church when he wrote to the Corinthians over in 1 Corinthians 12, he described the church as a body. And here's how Paul makes that description. He says, "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be." That's where your unique shape comes in. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." There's a couple of things in that passage that Paul's reminding us of. And the first thing that I think we should get and understand is this, that belonging and serving, they're inseparable. Belonging and serving are inseparable. Paul says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And there's a word, as you read that verse as a whole, in the context that it's written, as you read that verse, there's a word that's implicit. Paul doesn't use it, but he implies it. And he's saying each of you is an important part of it. And when Paul talks about being an important part of the body of Christ, he's talking about you having some part to contribute. As you are part of the body of Christ, that there's something that you have to offer, something to do, a task, that God has something for you to contribute within the context of the local church, the body of Christ. And we say it a little bit differently here. You know, I just showed you our mission statement. We also have five core values as a church that we've identified. They're things that kind of move us forward and drive us and help us make decisions. One of those core values is this, that everyone is important and has a role to play. Everyone is important and has a role to play. And by role to play, what we mean is everyone is important and has a role to play in helping our church achieve the mission that God has given to us. And in any authentic community, this idea of belonging and serving is an important part of it. It's important in terms of family, right? When my kids were younger, not so much now, but when they were younger and they had chores to do, and sometimes they didn't want to do those chores. I mean, this was like, you know, when they were younger, like last year. And sometimes they would say stuff like, you know, why do I have to do this? Or I don't want to do that. Or I don't want to do that stupid chore and things like that. And I always saw those times as teachable moments, right? And because parents are always looking for teachable moments. And sometimes when those conversations pop up, I would have what I called the family conversation with them when they were complaining about their chores. And when I would have the family conversation with my kids, I didn't talk to them about the importance of doing their chores. I talk to them about what it means to belong to our family and what it means that if you're a part of the family, then you have a part to play and you have a role, and that we all have things that we have to do in order to make things go well and to get where we want to be, that you belong and you're a part of it. And you know, when we talk about serving as a church, it's really not about getting things done. It's not about just accomplishing things. Here's what it's really all about. Here's what serving does. And it's the second thing that I think Paul is trying to get across in this passage, but that serving will change your relationship with the community. That serving changes your relationship with the community. When you serve, that 10% that we do here, that you do with the rest of us here, when you serve, it changes your relationship with this community. Serving moves you from what I call being a consumer to someone who actually belongs. See, the church is not supposed to be a crowd of consumers. The church is supposed to be a community of servers. And when we serve, when we find that gift, talent, passion, or that ability that God can use, it's part of what causes us to belong, and it really is being a part of what God is doing here. So belonging and serving, they're inseparable. Serving will change your relationship with the community. And then here's the third thing that I think is important to know. In the church, not everything you do will be glamorous, but everything you do will be important. Not everything you do will be glamorous, but everything you do will be important. And that's really what Paul is getting at when he says, you know, if the foot should say, I'm not a hand, it doesn't stop being a part of the body, right? And what Paul is saying is when you serve, not everything you do necessarily is going to be glamorous, but what you're doing, if you're serving out of your shape that God has given you, it's going to be important. Now, something that I think is just kind of important to understand here, when you do find that in the body of Christ, whatever you find to do here at Fairfax Circle, whatever way God can use you here, it will not be a full expression of who you are. It will not be a full expression of all the gifts, talents, passions, and abilities that God has given to you. That's why I call it the 10%. That's what we do together, but it's never going to fully reflect all of the gifts, talents, and experiences and passions that you have and that God has given you, because there's a whole other part of your life where God is going to use all of that. This is just part of that. You know, I was thinking about the folks that just serve here on Sunday mornings, and we have somewhere between 40 and 50 people who make Sunday mornings happen, from kids ministry all the way to people who are up here on the stage. And then I was thinking about just the people who serve in our hospitality team. And we'll talk about that next week as one of the ministry that we have going on here. But I was thinking about the people who serve in hospitality ministry every Sunday. We have all kinds of people. And through the years, we've had all kinds of people who've served on that team. I mean, we've had business people. We've had government people. We've had folks who were attorneys, people who are in the medical field, vice presidents of major companies in our country. And so we have all of these folks who are greeters and ushers, and they're setting up snacks and refreshments, and they're cleaning up after everything is done with snacks and refreshment, and they're doing all of these things. And they don't do it because it allows them to use all of their gifts, talents, passions, and abilities that God has given to them, because they have a whole lot more to offer than just that. They do it because, one, most of them are pretty outgoing and they like to be around people. But two, they do it because it's one way that they can serve. And they understand that when they show up and when they make that contribution, that it moves our church forward in reaching its mission. And it's not glamorous, but it's important. And I think about the fact that every week there are people who walk into this building, people who are looking for hope, people who are looking for peace in their life, people who are looking for a place to belong or a place to connect with others, people who are looking for a place to either start or restart their faith and their walk with God, people who are looking for answers to really, really hard questions, and their experience with God and their connection with us. It's shaped by those first few minutes and those first few expressions, that encounters that they have when they walk in to the front doors. You know, a couple years ago, actually several years ago, we had a young lady who visited our church. She was single, came by herself, and she came one Sunday morning. And after the service, she approached me. I'd not met her until after the service, but she approached me after the service and began to talk to me and introduced herself. And then she got some tears in her eyes. And she said, "I just want to tell you," she said, "I'm new to this area. I don't know anybody here. And I've been looking for a church. And this was the fourth church that I visited. And the last three churches that I visited, not a single person spoke to me when I visited that church. From the time I drove onto their parking lot to the time I left, no one said a word to me. And when I pulled into your parking lot this morning," she said, "I prayed to God. And I said, if nobody talks to me in this church, I'm not going to keep looking for a church. I'm going to quit church." And before she got from the front door to the sanctuary door, three or four people spoke to her and engaged her in a conversation. She came back. She didn't give up on church. She didn't quit. She continued her journey with God through this community. And if you take it further out than just our hospitality team, the people who work on our website, and the people who make sure banners get up and get replaced, and the people who do social media and things like that, people, you know, things that people see before they ever even decide to step foot on this campus. Again, those are not glamorous jobs, but they're incredibly, incredibly important to what we're doing. Now, all of that stuff, it's not glamorous. But it doesn't utilize all of your shape, but it's incredibly important for our mission. And Paul tells us this in Ephesians 4. He says, "The whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, it grows, and it builds itself up in love as each part does its work." As each part does its work. And here's the amazing spiritual reality about the body of Christ, and it's true here at Fairfax Circle Church, that God has given to the church, and He's given to this specific congregation, He's given us all of the financial resources, and He's given us all of the human resources that we need to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish together. Everything we need, it's already here. It's just about everyone getting involved, finding their 10%, and being able to finish this statement. That here at Fairfax Circle Church, my part is. Here at Fairfax Circle Church, my part is. And you fill in the blank. And what is your part at Fairfax Circle Church? And for some of you, you've already filled in that blank. For some of you, a lot of things through the years have been in that blank, because you've been involved in a lot of things and you've moved from ministry to ministry, or you tried this and it wasn't a good fit, so you tried something else, or you just outgrew that ministry and took on something even bigger. But if you don't know what it is, then let me invite you to ask this question this week before we come back to the ministry fair, and it's this: what's the one thing that I can do here? What's the one thing I can do here that's part of the bigger picture of what God has called this church to do? And it may not be glamorous, but I guarantee you it will be important, because it's part of what we do together. It's that 10% that helps us to do more than we could do on our own. And it's part of what God is doing through us as a church to change our community and to change our world. Let me pray for you. God, one more time, we thank you for how you created us and how you shaped us all uniquely. You gave us different gifts and talents and personalities. You've given us all different passions and different experiences in life. And you gave us all of those things because there's something you want us to do with them. And there's that 90% where you want us to use all of that as a reflection of you in our lives wherever we find ourselves, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's in the locker room, on the ball field, coaching, teaching, whatever it is you've called us to do, you want us to use that day in and day out wherever we find ourselves. And then, God, there's the 10% that you call us to do corporately, together as a church. So help us to discover what those things are. Help us to be looking for the opportunities to serve you this week wherever we find ourselves. And then if we don't have something to put in that blank where we say, this is my contribution where I serve alongside of other people in my church to make a difference as a whole, help us to discover what that is. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's stand and sing our song response.